The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, avoiding the nets that can trap your heart.
I didn't realize until I read the verse. Now, I'm going to tell you something up front, and I want you to stay there because we're going to talk this thing through together. I'm in net recovery. Truly. I've had a netty heart my own self. Anybody? You've heard of a netty pot? We're talking netty heart here.
Getting out of the net next.
Appreciate it. It's a joy to come into your home. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you not only to Life Today, but Wednesdays with Beth. And before we listen to this gifted teacher, can I just emphasize something that I think is really important because I love you and I care about you. And I love and care about all the people you love and care about. And God loves and cares about all of you. Well, I think that God made it very clear that we often are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge. And that would be knowledge of the truth, not only Jesus the truth, but just knowledge concerning truth and how it's applied in everyday life and how deception can destroy life, the preciousness of it, the meaning and effectiveness of it, and the principles upon which we build our lives on that solid rock. Not just hearing about truth, but living according to it. Well, I think we're being misdirected by deception in so many areas of American life. I spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer, 50 years of ministry, observation, study, analysis of the truth, asked someone to join with me to help write the book, Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom Before It's Too Late. Please, read prayerfully. Indivisible. It could change the course of our nation, the very thing you've been praying for. Well, let's listen to Beth Moore. Would you welcome Beth? Here she is.
So number one was what somebody may be joining us in the last minute or two, and they need to know point one. What was it? A net is something you don't see coming. We're studying nets together in the Word of God, and our theme verse is, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net." That's number one. As we work toward number two, I want you to go somewhere with me. Go with me if I can find it. I've got a new Bible, so I'll be there in a month. But the rest of you, please turn to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Leave something in Psalm 25 because we're coming back. I'm going to show you guys something so fascinating. It's Ecclesiastes 7, 26. I love it in the ESV. I want you to hear the wording here. I mean, this is strong. "And I find something more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her." A woman whose heart is snares and nets. I want you to write down number two, and we're about to talk about it. A heart can twist into a net. A heart can twist into a net. Now let that just sink in a moment. We're going to talk about it for a few minutes, so let's explore it. But I want you to think this through. I want you to hear it in the Holman Christian Standard because it says it with less words and you'll still hear the word net. "And I find more bitter than death the woman who is a trap." Everybody call the woman who is a trap. Everybody say the words.
The woman who is a trap.
Say it one more time.
The woman who is a trap.
And then it says her heart a net and her hands chains. Her heart is a net. Wow. Wow. One of my commentators pointed out that it's really not talking about a prostitute. You know, he certainly does go there with his warnings toward his son, but it's not talking in this context here. It's not talking necessarily about woman folly. One of the things that the commentator pointed out was that anyone can have a heart that is turned in to Annette. And I mean, it just like troubled me, and it seems reasonable to me. Because I thought, how in the world does a heart turn into Annette? And I thought to myself, it seems reasonable to me that if your feet have been in Annette long enough, if your feet have made their home in Annette, in other words, we don't escape it, maybe we know where, we don't know how to get out of it, maybe we don't want out of it, we're just standing with our feet in Annette. If our feet become at home in Annette, Annette can become at home in our heart. Anybody get that with me? Once our feet get like, we're home here. This is how my feet usually feel, really comfortable in this net. You stay there long enough, and that net will find its home in your heart. And that is a dangerous thing. It just, I picture it with me because I began to, I'm a visual learner, or many of you, and I love images in my head, and I just thought, you know, once you stand here long enough, it's like that net just like crawls up your leg like poison ivy until it just grows around and overtakes the heart, and that net that has been under our feet just begins to overtake the heart. Now, let's talk about what she would look like, and I'm going to say to the gentleman too, think, is this you? Is this you? So let's have it both genders here, because anybody's heart can turn into a net, and we need to be aware of it. We want to be aware of it in our relationships. We want to be aware of it most when we look in the mirror and look into our own lives and the way we do our relationships. Have you ever known a woman that you cannot just be friends with? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have to get all tangled up with them. And, you know, just here recently, I've had to put a little distance between myself and someone I really love because I didn't realize until I read the verse. Now, I'm going to tell you something up front, and I want you to stay there because we're going to talk this thing through together. I'm in net recovery, truly. I've had a netty heart my own self. Anybody? You've heard of a netty pot? We're talking netty heart here. And it's not any prettier than a neti pot. Don't even think about it. So, I'm recovering, so I get that. But I was just thinking to myself after I saw the verse, it's kind of what I'm trying to get a breather from. You know, it's just like, whoa, where there is so much drama that you just can't breathe. And I think if we're trying to picture what it looks like, I think that with a woman who has a heart that is turned into a net, befriending turns into belonging. Is anybody stepping in that with me? Where you can't just like, why can't we just like be friends? Do you ever get the feeling like suddenly, I don't know how I suddenly belong to her. How did that happen? Really, really, really possessive. If it's been a long time since you've been anywhere without your friend, she's probably a tad netty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, if you no longer know what it's like to be alone, or can we just be so brave as to say if that's us, if we have a friend that we're scared to death, that if we leave them alone for a 24-hour period of time, they're going to get a new best friend. And so, like, then it may be us. And we're in net recovery in this series because that's the kind of like just sticky. A woman whose heart is in net can be a woman that won't let go, just won't let go. And this can be true in a friendship or a romantic context. I thought it was interesting. I was thinking today that we have a name for it, strangely. We have a name for it when it's men. We just don't call it the same thing when it's women. You know what we call them? Stalkers. You want to hear something interesting? My ministry would be able to affirm what I'm about to tell you. I've had about four what I would call that finally ultimately qualified as stalkers. And I want you to understand something. Only one of them was a man. One was a man. and he was not the big dangerous one. Women can be netty. Women can refuse to let go. Women can decide that they own you. And it's really interesting how we do, because once we realize we're kind of caught, then we want out. It's just nature. It's just nature, because the relationships you and I enjoy the most are the ones that we know we could step back from if we needed to. But the more caught I feel, the more I want to run. Is it just me? A woman with a netty heart really wants to be loved. But if love wears out, she'll settle for obligation. A woman with a netty heart can be, this is a word I felt like God gave me, and then he confirmed it in his word, ingratiating. Anybody know what I mean by that? I looked it up in the dictionary to be sure that I had the right concept in my mind. When somebody ingratiates themselves into your life, I found this definition in a dictionary. It says this: to ingratiate means to bring oneself into favor with someone by flattery or trying to please them. To bring oneself into favor with someone by flattery or trying to please them. You're in Ecclesiastes. I'm wondering if I want to let you let it go yet. Go with me. I think so. Go with me to Proverbs 29:5. Proverbs 29:5. I want to show you something. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. A man who flatters his neighbor. Now, neighbor just is friend. Very often it's the same word that is in Hebrew for friend. I don't know if it is there or not, but for them, only their neighbors were their friends. You get that with me? I mean, they had no way to travel like we do all over the place. They didn't have email. Their best friends were their neighbors. So let's give it a nice broad range. But it says that flattery gets people's feet caught in a net. And how would that be true? Well, let me tell you, this is part of what ingratiating does. Have you ever had someone come into your life that just cannot say enough good about you? Well, they like your hair, and they're like, how do you do your eyeliner? And like, gentlemen, I'm sorry. Okay, what can I say about you? They like your team. They like, you're really, really working out. You're good at what you do. I mean, it's a lot of building up, a lot of building up. And let me assure you that I'm not talking about encouragement. The Word of God calls us to encourage people, to affirm people in their faith. It even tells us to honor our leaders. We're told to honor one another. But that's different than flattery. Flattery has an element of deceit to it. Flattery is a compliment wearing a cloak. And you know what it's like, because someone will come in and I'm going to just be all like that. And boy, you want that because it's addictive. I mean, it's addictive. Flattery is very addictive. Affirmation can be addictive. And so here's what happens. If they're really good at it, if they've really been in a net long enough where their heart has been overtaken by a net, if they're really, really netty of heart, what's going to happen is when the time is right, I'm not saying it's this conscious, but I mean it happens like clockwork, then they begin to withhold it. Have you ever like gotten in the car with somebody, you're used to them pumping you up all the time, and this time they don't say anything, and you knew you looked cute when you got in. So you don't know what went wrong here. And you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you're a singer. You know what I'm talking about, that you have that person that says, I mean, they just tell you every time, no one sings like you. And I mean, it's just like, and then, but that time, right afterwards, they don't say it. And when you miss it, you know you're an addict. Flattery. It's a lot of ingratiating going on with a woman who has a netty heart. And notice that you say, what's wrong? And they always go, nothing. Nothing. And you're wound in. Because now you're netty with them. I wrote this down too. We're about to get out of our misery in just a minute. Are y'all still hanging in there? Are you still out there? I need to know if you're still watching. You may have turned it off and you're trying to like untangle yourself and go to work, but stay in there for just a moment. But something else that dawned on me that I wrote down in my notes is that sometimes people get you in a net by getting you to tell them things that are so private that later you won't let go of them because they know too much. Who is it that you really know is extremely unhealthy for you, but the truth of it is they know too much? That's Nettie. That's Nettie. If you can't trust him outside your intimate boundaries, you're in a net. And we've got the God who is going to pull our feet out of a net. You know, for some people, you know, we got to have a little mercy on them because it's the only way they think they can stay in a relationship, is that they just have to belong. You have to belong to them and they have to belong to you. And I thought to myself, you know, one way we know we've been in a net, if long after that relationship has soured, we still have all manner of debris in our heart. I wonder who I'm serving today that has a heart just like full of debris. I just started picturing an old screen door. Can you picture it with me? Kind of torn up on the edges, insects in it, dust in it, leaves stuck in it. Have you ever felt like long after relationship was over, you still got all this debris in your heart because somehow that net just was infectious? Crawled right down that person's leg and right up yours and into your heart. I thought, it takes a brave heart to admit it's a net heart. And I love 1 Peter 1:22. It's one of my memory verses from here recently. It says, love each other earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We were meant to love one another deeply, but not with a netty heart. And you'll get to where now, since you've heard the verse, it will start being so obvious to you. Lord, we want to see it in our own hearts.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I know every time Beth shares, and by the way, you know, Betty and I traveled. We actually traveled quite a bit with the book Indivisible and meeting people around the country, and they said, thank you, not only for Life Today Every Day and all the mission outreaches, but thank you for Beth Moore. And we say, well, Beth is a mission outreach. She's fresh water. She's bread. She's life-giving. She's a mission project to you because we love you. And what we're trying to do, Betty, is to express love out of a pure heart, like Beth talks about, for you, and encourage you to care for others and, yes, to care for our nation. Let's pray for an awakening. I want to show you one of the most touching. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen anything that moved me any more than this, and I've been all over the world. You're going to really hear, I think, the heart cry of God in behalf of the suffering, the same way God would care about you and your need and does care about you. And here we've got a situation, we've got a need, we've got a problem that we can correct. You can be a part of the correction today immediately, and you're going to want to be. Watch.
My name is Janice. I've been a photographer with the Life Outreach Mission Team for over 20 years. I've traveled all over the world trying to help children in need. Even though my heart is broken each trip by the amount of pain and suffering I've witnessed, I wasn't prepared for what I saw on our latest trip to South Sudan. This boy's name is Lazarus. His Christian mother gave him this name, and it's very fitting because Lazarus needs a miracle.
He wanted to see his picture a minute ago. I was scared to even show it to him because I don't know if he understands what he looks like. And I showed him, and the man said, he's saying, who is that? Who is that? Can't even recognize himself.
Thank you.
It's a baby. It's just a baby. Oh, baby.
There's thousands like this all over Sudan. We need to help them get a brand new start. We need to help them grow and be children and have fun. All it takes is food. Food. It's so simple. Jesus, give him a miracle. Give this baby a miracle. Oh.
I was thinking of tears. I can last for a day, but joy comes in the morning, I thought. I want joy to come to the mother and to Lazarus. I want a modern-day resurrection. Of Lazarus, I want to see him raised up by love. It's always love. That love lifted me. It's the only thing that can lift him. You saw the love of God in Janice. Janice has been with us since she was a teenager. We love her. Because the love of God's in her. She's a witness everywhere she goes, everywhere she moves.
You know, James, I think we should be weeping in our hearts when we see scenes like that. Our compassion, we should be compelled to want to reach out and help these precious children that don't understand what's happening to them. They don't understand why they don't feel good. They don't understand why they can't have something to eat. It's because it's not there unless we give it. I hope your heart's been touched, just as Janice's heart's been touched, and our hearts, to want to reach out and to help these children.
This is our last week of the spring mission feeding and the mission feeding emphasis that we have twice a year. And this is our last week, and we've got hundreds of thousands of children that are desperate. We've got them in feeding centers, and we've assured them we'll be feeding them for the next 6 months there, and it takes months to turn it around, get them stabilized. And we found 20,000 more in Sudan, and most of them are suffering because their families are Christians. And in South Sudan, they've been pushed out. They now have become a country terribly persecuted and abused and plundered by ruthless corporations, and they can be ruthless, not from America, thank God. Other countries, and have pushed them out of their villages, and they've been maimed and attacked and had body parts cut off by cruel religious zealots in the northern part of Sudan. And so they suffer, and they pray. That's why you have Bible names. Would you, in this last week, would you make the most special gift you can, $100 that enables us to feed 10 children for the next several months? $50 will feed 5, 30 will feed 3. So I don't need anyone to sit here and say, well, I don't have very much. Well, it's huge, that $30 to 3, like Lazarus Press. Maybe we could say, could I help somebody like him? Could you help 10 like him? Could you give $1,000 and help 100? Betty and I find our hearts leap at the thought that we can feed those children and stabilize them, and they're so grateful. They don't feel like, well, you owe me. They don't resent people who have something. They say, I'm glad you noticed. How refreshing is that? I appreciate the fact somebody made something, had something, and gave it. Would you please dial that number right now, please? Be an answer to Janice's prayer, the mother's prayer, Lazarus' need, and many others. Help as many as you can. Use your bank card. Please do it. Do it now. Use your bank card like a check. You write a check, make it to Life. That's what you're giving. Go online, lifetoday.org, and say, here's my gift today. That'd be wonderful. We have it right now. We tell the missionaries, you can get those additional 20,000 where Lazarus is. Would you do it? Thank you for making that gift. We've got some special gifts for you to help you grow and for the children you love in your family.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, you're going to bless children with the Jesus Storybook Bible and the side-by-side Bible. When you take the new international version that Beth uses, the new King James version our Pastor Robert Morris uses, many do, you got them side-by-side. Great study. We want to bless you. Remember this. This is the last week for our mission feeding. And we need a miracle response. We need to hear from every single one of you. You know, Betty and I have given several gifts to mission feeding. Why? Because we've got 20,000 additional children that are in desperate need in the Sudan, with the hundreds of thousands of others we've already found and we've begun to feeding programs. We need to continue. Last week, we really need to hear from you if you could possibly make another gift. Thank you for doing it.
Join us next week to find out what it really means to have more than enough as we explore God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.